This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
481 votes. That is the margin. Chris Nanos won by in November of 2024 out of nearly a 500,000 ballots cast in Pima County Sheriff's race. The difference between Nanos keeping his badge and Heather Lappin taking it from him was less than the capacity of a mid-sized concert venue. The Board of Supervisors has now requested outside investigations into his conduct twice. His own deputies voted no confidence. He put his political opponents on administrative leave weeks before the election in a move that even fellow Democrats called election interference. And now he's the face of the most high-profile missing person investigation in the country, the disappearance of Nancy Guthrie, the 84-year-old mother of Today Show host Savannah Guthrie. And the criticism has gone from local grumbling to national scrutiny. So, with all of that, with the documented complaints and the razor-thin mandate and the investigations and the national spotlight, what can actually be done to remove him? It's a question a lot of people are throwing around. The answer is the part that should genuinely concern people. Not just in Pima County, everywhere in Arizona, really everywhere throughout our country, because the answer functionally is almost nothing. An elected sheriff in Arizona occupies one of the most insulated positions in American government, and the levers that people assume exist, the ones they talk about on social media, the ones they demand their supervisors pull, either don't work or the way people think or don't exist at all. We're going to get into why that is and why Nanos is seemingly being able to operate the way he is, really without consequence. Don't like me? Too bad. You can't get rid of me. Disagree with me? I don't care. You can't get rid of me. Can I just say a bunch of crazy random shit out there and contradict myself left and right? Maybe not really give anybody confidence in this investigation. In fact, make everybody feel far less confident. Don't care. Doesn't matter. Can't get rid of me. That's what's going on. That's the reality of the situation. It is. Give me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube and on our Substack. I'm going to go through and explain this in greater detail so you fully understand. Press subscribe while we're doing it. To understand why, you have to understand what a sheriff actually is under Arizona law. And it's not what most people assume. Under the Arizona Constitution, Article 12, Section 3, the sheriff is constitutionally created, independently elected officer. That's what he is. Not appointed by the Board of Supervisors, not subordinate to the Board of Supervisors, not answerable to the governor. The sheriff is elected directly by the voters of the county and holds that office in an independent as an independent constitutional officer for a 4-year term. The Board of Supervisors and the sheriff are, legally speaking, co-equal. The board controls the budget. That's their leverage. They can fund or defund. They can publicly criticize. They can pass resolutions expressing their displeasure. But they cannot fire the sheriff. They cannot suspend the sheriff. They cannot override his operational decisions or tell him how to run an investigation or go pound sand. This was reinforced just last year. In 2025, the Arizona Supreme Court ruled that in Sanchez v. Maricopa County, that a county cannot remove a sheriff from office absent specified constitutional circumstances unrelated to the exercise of law enforcement authority. The court went way out of its way to say that the relationship between a Board of Supervisors and a sheriff is not hierarchical. These are not employer and employee. These are parallel elected officials with separate constitutional mandates. So when people say the Board of Supervisors should do something about Nanos, the board has essentially done everything it legally can. It's requested investigations twice. It publicly called him out after the Lappin suspension. It sought outside review from both the Arizona Attorney General and the U.S. Attorney. These are the tools. That's the whole toolbox right there. And once you sent those letters and made those votes, you're done. So what about the mechanisms that theoretically exist beyond the board that seven of you are screaming at me right now saying, what about this? Well, there's three. Let's talk about those three. And each one is either functionally impossible, legally inapplicable, or already been tried. The first is the recall election. Arizona Constitution Article 8, Part 1 provides that any elected official can be recalled by the voters. The mechanism is real. It's in the Constitution. People point to it like it's a fire alarm that you just kind of pull and it works. It's not. It's more like assembling a fire truck from scratch in a burning building. Here's the math. The trigger, or to trigger a recall election for the Pima County Sheriff, petitioners need valid signatures equal to 25% of the total votes cast in the last general election for that office. In 2024, approximately 487,301 votes were cast in the sheriff's race. 25% of that is roughly 121,825 valid, verified signatures. You have 120 days to collect them. Go! It's just over 1,000 verified signatures per day, every single day, for 4 months straight. And that's the number you need to survive verification, not the number you need to collect. Signatures get thrown out for bad addresses, illegible handwriting, people who aren't registered in the right district, circulator errors, missing dates. In any real-world petition drive, you plan on a rejection rate. Realistically, to land on 121,825 clean signatures, you need to collect somewhere in the range of 140,000 to 150,000 raw signatures. That requires an organized, funded, sustained grassroots infrastructure operating across a county that stretches over 9,000 square miles with a population nearing a million people. For context, the most famous recall effort in Arizona history targeted Governor Evan Meckham in 1987. That was a statewide effort with a massive institutional support, widespread media coverage, and bipartisan outrage over canceling Martin Luther King Day. It succeeded. The Meckham was impeached before the recall election took place, a county-level recall of a sheriff in a county where the electorate is split almost perfectly down the middle with no institutional machinery already in place. That's a near impossibility under current conditions. And even if it somehow succeeded, even if every signature held up and the recall election was called, Nanos would appear on the ballot as a candidate. Other candidates could file to run against him. Whoever gets the most votes wins. Nanos could win his own recall election. And if he does, no further recall petition can be filed against him for the remainder of his term unless the petitioners reimburse the county for the full cost of the prior recall election. So the recall exists on paper. In practice, it's a mechanism designed for a level of civic mobilization that almost never materializes. So there's that. If you're like, whoa, okay, so that one's not going to work. The second lever is criminal prosecution. If an elected official is convicted of a felony, that's a path to removal, and this is the one people have been banking on. Whether they realize it or not, the Board of Supervisors has twice asked outside agencies to investigate Nanos. The first time was in 23 over his handling of the Ricky Garcia sexual assault case, a situation where a sergeant in his department was accused of essaying a fellow deputy, and Nanos allegedly put the internal investigation on hold. Supervisors voted 3-2 to request an Arizona Attorney General or DPS to investigate. Attorney General Chris Mays accepted that referral. Her office conducted the investigation. The result, no criminal wrongdoing found. Case closed. The second time was in November of 24 after Nanos placed Lappin on administrative leave and suspended the head of the deputies union in the final weeks of the election. Supervisors voted unanimously to request both the Arizona AG and the U.S. attorney investigate whether those actions constituted criminal conduct or election interference. The AG's office acknowledged the request. Beyond that, silence. No charges have been filed. No public update has been issued. If charges were to materialize, they'd require a trial, which could take months or years, and a conviction, which requires proof beyond a reasonable doubt. The bar isn't just high. It's prosecutorial, not political. Bad judgment, public embarrassment, operational failures, thin-skinned press conferences, even conduct that looks retaliatory, none of that is automatically criminal. And two investigations have now either closed without charges or stalled without public action. So there's your other one. What about the third lever, you ask? What's behind door number three? Well, it's a brand new car! A third lever is the one that gets thrown around the most on social media and in comment sections, and it is the one that flat out does not apply. Impeachment. People hear the word and assume it works like it does on a federal level, that some legislative body can bring charges and remove the official. In Arizona, impeachment exists under Article 8, Part 2 of the state constitution. It applies to the governor and other state and judicial officers, except justices of courts not of record. That language matters. A county sheriff is not a state officer. The sheriff is a county officer, created by Article 12 of the Constitution, elected by county voters operating under county jurisdiction. The Arizona House of Representatives cannot impeach a county sheriff. The Arizona Senate cannot try a county sheriff. There is no version of Arizona impeachment law that reaches county-level elected officials. It's not a matter of political will. It's not a matter of votes. The constitutional authority does not exist. You could get every single member of the Arizona legislature to agree that a county sheriff should be removed, and they would have no legal mechanism to do it. Impeachment is off the table. Not difficult, not unlikely, just legally impossible. And this is where the frustration needs to shift from the specific of the systematic or the systemic here, because this isn't really about Chris Nanos. It's about a structural gap in democratic accountability that's been baked into Arizona's government since 1912, the year the Titanic sunk. Arizona's constitution was written by people who were deeply skeptical of concentrated government power. It was one of the most progressive populist state constitutions of its era. Direct democracy tools like recall, initiative, and referendum were embedded into the foundation specifically because the framers didn't trust appointed officials, didn't trust backroom deals, and wanted the voters to have the final say. That instinct was admirable. The unintended consequences is that between elections, there's almost no meaningful check on an independently elected county officer. The sheriff answers to the voters every 4 years. Between those elections, the only realistic mechanism is a recall that requires a mobilization effort most communities simply cannot execute. A criminal prosecution that requires conduct rising to the level of a felony, or an impeachment process that constitutionally cannot touch them. The system that was designed to protect elected officials from political interference also protects them from accountability. Those two things aren't the same, but the Constitution treats them like they are. So where does that leave Pima County right now? Well, Nanos won't face voters again until 2028. His current term runs through January 29. A recall would require an unprecedented signature gathering operation in a politically divided county with no existing infrastructure to support it. The AG investigations have either produced nothing or gone quiet. The Board of Supervisors has used every tool it has, and the Guthrie case has put the Sheriff's Department under a level of national scrutiny that Nanos himself has admitted he is not used to. He said publicly that he's not accustomed to people hanging on his every word and holding him accountable for what he says. I mean, that's the craziest line, I think, of this whole damn thing. Not used to being people holding him accountable for what he says. That's the job. Being accountable for what you say and following through. Sorry. It's a key element of it, and you're not you. Well, get used to it. I don't know what else to tell you. You're not used to it? It's a remarkable thing for an elected law enforcement official to say out loud. The honest answer, the one that isn't satisfying but is the truth, is that barring a criminal indictment that nobody currently sees coming, Chris Nano serves as Pima County Sheriff until the voters decide otherwise. That is the system. The people who wrote Arizona's Constitution wanted to make sure the government couldn't remove an official the people chose. So the people got what they voted for, like it or not. What they apparently never considered is what happens when the people want to remove that official too and find out they can't. So hopefully that answers some of your questions about why you can't just up and out Nanos. Give me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube or our Substack. The links are in the description. Substack, check that out. We've been up there since the beginning of the new year. Great community growing there. Got a little over 1,000 members now. We're getting pretty damn close to around there. Just some of our most, hardcore, I would say, true crime fans. Great opinions, great thoughts. If you want to be part of that community, do check it out. Hiddenkillers.substack.com. It's free to join right now. There's no paywall at this moment. You can check it out. The link is in the description. Of course, you can also comment through YouTube at any time. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. And wherever you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it may be, go hit subscribe on our program. You can take us with you anywhere you go so you don't miss any of our reporting. I look forward to continuing our conversation off the air in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. Until then, my name's Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.